We begin the new Masechta, Masechta's Kitten. We begin on Daf Beis Amen Aleph. Where the parak opens up with the title of this parak, which is Hamevi Get, which this parak discusses primarily the halachas that pertain to the delivery of the get itself. Now, the get is the divorce document which the husband gives to the wife. However, he doesn't have to give it himself. He could create what's called a shliach lahilacha, a messenger, an agent to go ahead and deliver the get to the woman or to her own shliach, called the shliach lekabalo, or to an area that's her domain, like her chatzar. Now the Mishnah tells us, Hamevi get memedinas hayam, if someone brings a get, this divorce document, from overseas, which Rashi tells us that the entire chutz la'aretz, any area out of Eretz Yisrael is called medinas hayam, the lands of overseas, except for Bavel, as the Gemara will later on explain in the Avav Menalv. So every area besides Bavel, if the shliach, the agent, is bringing the get from overseas, so tzarech, so the shliach that's bringing this get, requires sheyomer b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtav. He has to say these four words, which are, in front of me it was written, and in front of me it was signed. I think Mar will explain the reason why he has to say this statement. Now again, this is specifically regarding an agent that the husband designated him in what's called a shliach lahalacha. He's an agent of delivery, in contrast to the husband himself bringing it and giving it to the wife, even if he's coming from overseas, or if the woman herself made a shliach lekabala. Here we're discussing specifically a shliach lahalacha. Now, Rabbi Gamliel Leimer, he says, af hamevi min harekim o min hacheger. This halacha that the Tanakhama mentioned, that you have to say b'fanei nechtam, which certifies that you, the agent who is bringing it, you witnessed it's being written and it's being signed, even if he brings it from an area as close as Rekem and Cheger, which, as Rashi says, we find that the Targum of Bein Kaddish or Bein Barad, which are the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, are translated in the Aramaic as Bein Rekem L'Cheger. So we find that they're very close, even though they're literally a stone's throw away from Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't make a difference since they're out of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, you have to say b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtav. Rabbi Yezoimer, he says, even a bigger chiddush, a filim kfar ludim, even from the village of Ludim, kfar ludim, which is out of Eretz Yisrael, lud, which is very close to it, and as we find the similarities in their name, kfar ludim, the village of Ludim, and to lud itself, which lud is in Eretz Yisrael, still you're going to have to say b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtav, because ultimately you're bringing it from out of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara is going to explain what is the mathriri machlekes between the Tanakama, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Eliezer, which seemingly they're all saying the same halacha, of that if you bring a get as a shliach from chutz la'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, you have to say b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtav. Now the fourth opinion mentioned, the Chacham Aymrim, they say, you do not have to say this statement of in front of me was written and in front of me was signed this get. Ella hamevi get memedina siyam, only someone that brings the get from overseas, which the Gemara is going to explain what exactly are the Chacham adding on to the opinion of the Tanakam and the Reisha, who he seemingly said the same exact words, that you have to bring a get if you bring it, if you have to say b'fanei nechtav if it was brought from medina siyam. But he adds on, the Chachamim, the Hamaylech, and same thing is if someone brings, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, to Medina Siyam, so not only you have to say b'fanei nechtav when you have from Chutz La'aretz, from Medina Siyam to Eretz Yisrael, but even from Eretz Yisrael to Medina Siyam, you also have to say this refrain. And moreover, v'hamevi mi-medina le-medina, b'medina Siyam, if someone brings from one country to another country, and both of them are overseas, tzarech shiyem b'fanei nechtav, there you also have to say this statement of in front of me was written and in front of me it was signed. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Oimer, he says, afilu mehagmonya lehagmonya. Also, a chiddush inherent in this requirement of b'fanei nechtav, which Gemara is going to explain. It's talking about if there was one city which had two different municipalities, two different governments that govern those areas, and their particular one and the other, that each province cannot go into the other half of that municipality, even though it's in the same city. So then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, so that also necessitates the saying of b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtav. So even though generally one city, you don't require it, but here, when since it's in mahagmunya lagmunya, therefore that separation, that division that splits up the two halves, requires you say b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtav. Now, the Mishnah explains now regarding this that we mentioned, that Eretz Yisrael is one thing, which is that Eretz Yisrael, you as the Mishnah will conclude, you don't have to say b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtav. But any area out of Eretz Yisrael, coming into Eretz Yisrael, you have to say b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechtam. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he clarifies and he delineates for us the borders of Eretz Yisrael and what's beyond that to be considered chutz la'aretz to require the saying of b'fanei nechta b'fanei nechtam. So he says, Me'rekem, from Rekem till the other end of the world, Lemizrach, going eastward, is considered Medina Nasiyam, considered out of Eretz Yisrael. Now, moreover, the Rekem itself is also classified Kimizrach as the east of the world. In other words, and it's not classified as Eretz Yisrael itself, and therefore someone that brings a get from Rekem has to say b'fanei nechta, and so too for all the places that he's classifying, where Rekem is regards to the east of Eretz Yisrael and going outward. Me'ashkeloin l'darm, when you're by Ashkeloin to the south, that's going to be considered Medina Siyam. But Ashkelon Kedarm, and Ashkelon itself is not classified as Eretz Yisrael, but rather as the southern part of the world in relation to Eretz Yisrael. And so to Ma'akoy Litzafon Va'akoy Kitzafon. Akoy to the north, and Akoy itself is considered as the northern part of the world, meaning and not part of Eretz Yisrael. Whereas Rameir, he argues, says Akoy ke Eretz Yisrael Gittin. Akoy has the status as Eretz Yisrael in regards to the halachas of Gittin. In other words, that one would not have to say b'fanei nechtam, if he's bringing a get from Akoy to the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Now, however, the west of Eretz Yisrael is not mentioned about the border, and the reason being is because what's called the Yam HaGadol is the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, the Mediterranean, as the pasuk says, b'midbar lamed dalet u'gvul yam, when it's delineating the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, to the west, that the sea is the boundary, and therefore there's no necessity of saying what are the boundaries, because we know that's all water over there. Now the Mishnah concludes, HaMeivi get be'Eretz Yisrael. If someone brings a get in Eretz Yisrael, if you bring it in Eretz Yisrael, I don't have to say in front of me it was written, in front of me it was signed. Now, however, but if, let's say, the husband comes and contests the validity of the get, and he says that it's a forgery, he says, this is not true, I never divorced her. So then the halach is, yiskayim b'chaisamam. Then you validate the get through the signatures that are signed in the get itself, which is either that the witnesses who signed come and verify these are our signatures, or other witnesses come and say we recognize the signatures on this get, and then it's going to be kosher, because now you have two valid witnesses saying that we authorize this get with our signatures, and we know that it's kosher, so though the husband is now coming and contesting, but however, there's two witnesses that are saying that what he's saying is incorrect, and therefore we believe the two witnesses now. What is understood from this statement is, however, but if there's no oirim, in other words, if the husband doesn't contest anything, you have just the husband on one end of Eretz Yisrael sends a get with a shleach to the woman, then we assume that it's kosher, and the reason being is because either one of the two reasons, as the Gemara will now explain, why is it that from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael you have to say b'fanei nechtam, either because that they're not bekin l'shma, they're not proficient in halacha, that a get has to be written for the sake of the woman that's being divorced with, in Eretz Yisrael they are bekin l'shma, they know that halacha. And moreover, regarding the other reason being given, is that because there are no witnesses that are ready to be able to authorize, to validate and to recognize the signatures that are signed in the get to say that we know that they're valid witnesses and that even that wasn't a forgery, that's a problem when you're coming from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. That's not a problem in Eretz Yisrael, where, as Yirmiyahu will explain, there are bate din kavu and there are courts all over Eretz Yisrael where people are coming and going and there's documents that are there and people recognize signatures. So Edom are Mitzuyin L'Kaimai. So therefore in Eretz Yisrael, there's whatever reason you're coming from, which is either Rabba or Rava, as Yirmiyahu will now explain, why from Chutz La'aretz you have to say b'fanei nechtam, that doesn't apply in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore there's no requirement of the Shleich to say that. However, but if the husband then comes and contests it and says, oh, what are you talking about? I never divorced my wife. What, that get that she has? What are you talking about? It's a forgery she made up by herself. Then what you have to do is you have to go ahead and verify the signatures that are signed in the document, again, either by the witnesses themselves or by other witnesses who recognize it. Then we know for sure that two witnesses who we always believe, in contrast to the husband, that it is a valid get and he really did divorce his wife. Now the Gemara asks, as we just alluded to, my tema, what is the reason for this halacha that the Mishnah talks about, that if you bring a get from Medina Siyam to Chutz La'aretz, the shliach, who's just the agent, executing what the husband had sent him to, has to say this refrain of Befanei Nechtav and Befanei Nechtav. So it's a machlokes. Rabbi Amar, he says, as we continue to Amud Beis, Lefi She'ein Bekiin Lishma. And that is because the Jews who live overseas are not what's called B'nai Torah. They're not well-versed in Halacha, and they don't know that a get has to be written for the sake of this woman. I mean, they know you have to write a get if you want to get divorced, but they don't know that you have to write it with this woman in mind. Now, the problem is the Pasuk says in Devarim Chav Daled, V'chas of Allah Sefer Krisus, that the get has to be written for her a book of divorce. Now, which the Gemara Darshan's law means lishma, it was written for her sake. Now, in Chutz La'aretz, they're not proficient in that halacha. So therefore, the shliach has to say, according to Rashi's interpretation, Befanei Nechtav v'Befanei Nechtav, before me was written, before me was signed. Now, therefore, the court that's getting in Eretz Yisrael, the divorce document that he's bringing from overseas, they say, oh yeah, you saw it being written, you saw it being signed. So then they're going to ask him, oh, was it written lishma? And then he'll respond, yes, because he'll be able to tell us either way, because he was there at the time. He says, yeah, I saw that they had in mind that they're writing it for her. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask, then why did they have to go through this whole process of him saying, in front of me was written, and in front of me was signed, and then they have to ask him, oh, so was it lishma? Why doesn't he just say, b'fani nechtav lishma, or b'fani nechtam lishma? Why does he have to say it with only these words? And then they have to ask him, and then he has to respond. Now, actually, Tysus wonders on this interpretation of Rashi, that why would the b'nei b'nin sayam be only lacking in one of the many halachas that apply to Gittin and say that, oh, they're not proficient in the halacha of Lishma, but there's many other halachas, like it can't be attached to the ground, and regarding the changing his name and her name, or being written by day and being signed at nighttime, if they're not bekiyin in halacha, so why only this particularity was required? So the Rabbein Tam actually says that, no, they're proficient in all the halachas of Gittin. It's just that the drasha of a chas of law, that it has to be lishma, they didn't see that that's a primary drasha. And when it says they're not bekiyin, Rabbi Tam actually says, means that they weren't concerned for this drasha of lishma. Now, therefore, when the Gemara later on will tell us there's a concept of la'achar shalamdu, which according to Rashi means very similar, because at once they learned the halacha of lishma, then they were careful about it. According to Rabbi Tam, it actually means that after they accepted it, because they always knew about it, they just weren't concerned about it. But either way, it's that they're not careful with this halacha of lishma. So therefore, the shliach, when he's coming and bringing it, he has to testify to some effect that he saw it being written, and then we can verify that he saw that it was being written lishma. That's one interpretation. Rav Amar, he says, lefi she'ein edim mitzuin l'kaimer. The reason why the shliach has to say b'fanei nechtav is because there are no steady caravans, there's no steady flow of people from Medina Siyam to Eretz Yisrael. Now, what's the problem with that? Because if the husband's going to come and contest and say, what are you talking about? I never wrote this get, which would require then, as our Mishnah said, let's say in Eretz Yisrael, that, okay, then we have to have witnesses that could do the verification process and say, to recognize the signatures that are being signed over here. That's a problem. Because if he's going to go in and contest, who's going to come? The people that signed live all the way there in Medina Siyam. Moreover, we don't have anyone around here in Eretz Yisrael that recognize those signatures. We don't know such people. We can't verify that there even exists such a person. Now that is why, explains Rava, what Chazal did is that they then believed the agent and said that we're going to give him a status of saying something that will be somewhat of a verification, because he's saying in front of me was signed, in front of me was written, I saw people writing it. It wasn't just made up. It wasn't just a forgery. Which Gemara is going to ask, both according to Rava and according to Rabba, that should mandate at least two people that are the shliach. Meaning if they're saying, let's say, according to what we just said to Rava, that because we're not going to have witnesses, that's why we have the agent say that he knows that it's true, but he's just one person. One person with the husband is going to be one. It's going to be one against one. Why are we going to believe the agent? So that's going to be what the Gemara is going to address. But that's the machlokes between Rabba and Rava. Why do we require a shliach to say b'fanei nechtam, b'fanei nechtam? Either because they're not bekiyin lishma, and therefore we're concerned that maybe there's a flaw here in the get, so we have the shliach tell us that it was written lishma, or because we're concerned, very likely the husband is going to contest, and the regular procedure of having someone recognize the signatures is very difficult, because they live overseas, we don't recognize their signatures. So the guy who's coming from there, the agent, he will tell us, he will do that part of being mekayimit before to preempt the husband, because in case the husband comes, we're going to be stuck without anyone that would recognize these signatures. Now the Gemara wonders, my benai, what is the halachic difference between the interpretation of Rabbah or Rava? So the Gemara says, Eke benai, there's three differences. One is the asu beitre. If two people bring the get, if let's say two people were made as agents, and the husband wanted to make sure it gets to his wife, so he got two people to go ahead and bring it to his wife to divorce her. Now, according to Rabbah, they're still going to have to say, b'fanei nechtam, because, so good, so two people, three people, doesn't make a difference, they're not professional lishma. You have to tell us that it's written lishma. Whereas according to Rava, they're not going to have to say, because they themselves are two people. If the husband comes and contests, well, they're around to verify it, because they're two witnesses, so therefore they don't have to say anything when there's one person. So he has to say, as we'll later on see, that by saying that, we actually gave him a status as like two people. But when there's two people, so they don't have to say anything. Let the husband come and contest. Then we'll verify we're two witnesses. Inami, another difference would be, is Medina le Medina be'Eretz Yisrael. From one country to another country in Eretz Yisrael. What that means to say is that Eretz Yisrael is split into three different parts. Now, for example, Yehuda, Judea, and Galil, where the assumption right now in the Gemara is that they're totally different parts of Eretz Yisrael. And caravans of people are not in steady flow from one to the other. Now, according to Rabbah, who's not concerned for the husband's contesting, that he's going to say that it's a forgery, he wasn't concerned for that. That's not why he said you have to say b'fanei nechtam. It's only because of the problem of that they're not picking l'shma. Well, according to him, when they're both in Eretz Yisrael, Yehud and Galil, then they're not going to have to say b'fanei nechtam, because in Eretz Yisrael, they're all proficient in this halacha of l'shma. Whereas according to Rava, you're going to have to say b'fanei nechtam, because as we're assuming right now, shayaris, caravans, are not mitzuyas from one place of Eretz Yisrael, let's say in Yehuda, to the Galil. So according to him, you're going to have to say, because we're not going to have any person that could recognize the signature. We don't know people live in Yehuda, we're in the Galil. Inami, or a third difference is, ba'is medina be'medina sayam. In the same country, meaning for example, from city to city, in one country, where according to Rabbah, in Medina Siyam, you have to say, because even though it's one in the same country, but they're not proficient in Lishma. So you have to tell the court that the guy down the block had written a Lishma. Whereas according to Rava, who his whole concern is because Edom are not maturing the Kaimai, well, his concern is because of the husband's protesting that it was forged, he's not going to need, because he have people, we live in the same country, people come from one city to another city and they'll be able to verify it, so therefore there's no requirement of b'fanei nechtam, because even if the husband contests, we'll have witnesses who'll be able to recognize the signatures signed on the get. Those are three differences between Rabba and Rava. Now the Gemara asks the question that we alluded to before. Ula Rabba do amalafisha in bikin lishma. The Gemara is going to ask a similar line of questioning on the next daf on Rava. According to Rabba, who says the reason why that we require b'fanei nechtam, is because the Jews who live in overseas, that they're not proficient in the halacha of having a get written for the sake of this woman. I mean, you can't just write with generic names. And there's Yaakov divorcing Leah. And then, oh, I'm Yaakov and Leah. Oh, great, we have a ready-made get. You can't do that. It has to be written specifically for them. So they're not proficient in that. So that's where the shliach comes along and he says, in front of me was written. And they asked him, okay, so was it written lishma? He says, yes. Question is, libay yitrei. You should require two witnesses, meaning, let's say, two agents, not just one, because midi dehava kol idi shabat Torah. What do you mean? Regarding all type of testimony in the Torah. Here you have a woman that he's claiming is being divorced with this get. Now, who's telling us that this is a kosher get? Well, the agent. He's saying, I saw it being written lishma. But what do you mean? You're saying testimony. You're coming to court, you're delivering a get. You have to have two aides. We don't believe one aide. How can this one shliach go ahead and verify the halacha of lishma to qualify this as a get, to divorce a married woman? So that the Gemara answers, Eid echad ne'eman b'isurin. One witness is believed regarding prohibitory law. In other words, the Torah believed every single Jew, when you go to eat by his house, how do you know that he took off trumas and maestras? How do you know that the meat that he's serving you was slaughtered properly? How do you know that he took out the forbidden fats and sinews from the piece of meat that are being eaten? So that Rashi takes for a given. Tosafot brings a source for this, that A person has believed, because that's what happens in every daily life, that regarding prohibited things, that he did it appropriately. So therefore, here is the same idea. This Eid Echad is believed regarding Isurin. But on that, the Gemara asks a fundamental question that creates the transition from the halacha of Eid Echad Nem B'Isurin to when do you ever need to have two witnesses to verify a fact in the court of law. So the Gemara asks as follows. When do you say this halachic dictum of that you believe one person regards to prohibitory law? That's, for example, if you have a piece of fat which is doubtful, it's not known to other people if it's forbidden fats, which is called chaylev, or permitted fats of an animal, which are called shuman, with this piece of fat has never been established that this is a piece of chaylev. So in regards to such an area, you believe one person who says that, oh, that's not chaylev, that's shuman. But here where this woman has already been established, which is what's known as the halacha of chazoko, with a principle of isura de eshes ish, she has already up until now been in a status, a pre-related status of eshes ish, of already being a married woman. Now Rashi just points out one thing, that although that we seem to apply the halacha of Eidech and Misurin even when there is a cheskes iser, for example, by tevel, untithed produce, or by shchita, by slaughtering an animal, as the Gemara tells in Masechet Yevamos Daf Peches Amud Aleph, that even there we'll say Eidech and Misurin, but there up until now, there was a cheskes iser. It was a presumed prohibited status because tevel is forbidden, and unslaughtered animal is forbidden, yet you believe him that he took off Trumas and Maisus, you believe him that he slaughtered properly. So that Rashi tells us that's different because that's based on the halacha of biyadoi. Means to say the one who is testifying, it's within his domain to make it what he's saying that it is. He can take off the trumas and maisis, which he's claiming that it's kosher food, and to do a procedure of slaughtering. Therefore, we believe him when he's saying that it's permitted. In contrast to over here, where it's not within the domain of this person who's testifying that it's lishma, he's only an agent for that. He doesn't have all biyadai to execute what he's claiming to be the fact. So hence, and there's actually two different girsois over here which actually make a big difference in how you learn the Gemara, is the word hava dava shebe'eva or vehava dava shebe'eva. Are these one point or two different points? But either way, it's regards to halacha of arayas, which are regarding prohibited intimate relationships, and the halacha is ve'ein davashe be'erva, that it's not appropriate to permit something that's related to intimate relationships pachis mishnayim, less than two witnesses. And the reason being is because regarding court of law, regarding monetary law, we'll make those divisions, which up until now we're talking about eidech hanem be'isurin, which is prohibitory law, what would, let's say, be known as yerideya, and then there's monetary law, which lets it be known as Chesh Mish, but by monetary law, we always know it requires two witnesses because there's a pasuk that says, Apishnaim Edim Yakum Davar, that's regarding two witnesses that we verify the facts. Now, however, regarding Arayas too, regarding prohibitory relationships, the Gemara learns in Mesechdes Saita Daf Gimel Mabez, there's what's called Davar Davar Mimaman. It says the word davar by monetary law, like we quoted apishnaim edim yakum davar, that requires two witnesses. It also says the word davar by arayas of kimotza ba'ervas davar. So therefore, just like by mamanis you need to have two witnesses, so too by davar sheba ervi you need to have two witnesses, and therefore ask the Gemara, whether again it's 1 point or 2 points, essentially what you have over here, you have a cheskas iser, you have a presumed prohibited status of arayas on this married woman, and now you want to permit it. Now, for that, you need to have testimony of two witnesses. If she was never established to be like that, so then maybe you could say, like all Eidech and Emishun, that we'll believe one witness. But that's only if we didn't have a chazaka either way. So, okay, one person could be believed. But if it was already established to be prohibited, then we won't go ahead then and permit it, especially if it's Davash Erva, which then to qualify that as a change in status requires two witnesses. So how can you have this one shliach of Lahailacha say, b'fanenachtem, and then allow us to go ahead, based on this testimony, to qualify it as lishma, to kasher the get, and have a woman divorced based on one witness's testimony? So the Gemara says, you're right. Roiv Bekinen. However, we're shifting a little bit now in the Gemara. Actually, the majority of the people of the Jews overseas are proficient in the halachas of Lishma, and hence, there's no really reason to suspect them that it wasn't written Lishma. And says the Gemara Vafil, Remeir the Chayish Lemiutam, we're going to go even further. Even according to Remeir, that generally, he's the one that's concerned for minority, for slim proportions, for slim chances. For example, a classic case is regarding a minor boy and girl, where the halacha is that he doesn't allow them to do Chalitza and Yibam. Why? He says that the katan, the minor, maybe he's going to be a sris, which means to say that he's not able to father children. And maybe the minor girl is going to be an islandess that's not capable of having children either. As the Gemara explains in Masechta Zivam Mustafa for Tesamad Alf. Hence, it'll be Shalei B'makam Mitzvah, and therefore it's not there, because the only way that the brother-in-law is allowed to go ahead and consummate the relationship with his sister-in-law, his brother, the David on the children, is that they can go ahead and foster children. Now, we don't know because they're minors yet. So he's concerned that maybe he's going to be a stris and she's going to be an analyst, so therefore they can't do it at all. So he's concerned for slight, slim chances. And that, the Gemara says, even according to him, where you would think, okay, according to him, that there is a necessity of verifying Lishma, because there are, although Raiv are Bekim, but there are those that are not, says the Gemara, no, even according to him, really, you shouldn't be concerned. Because Tam Safri did Dainam, that generally, the scribes of the judges, who they're the ones that generally write the documents of Gittin, they're Migmah Gemiri. They're proficient halachas that a get for a woman needs to be written Lishma. So maybe some of the populace don't know, but they're not the ones writing it anyway. Now, so therefore, really, truth is, we shouldn't have to say Befanech Vanechtem. We shouldn't be concerned at all with this halach of Lishma. Now, but Rabbanahu De'atzuch, the Rabbanan, the rabbis, however, did mandate that to be concerned for this halacha of maybe wasn't written Lishma. The reason being is because, although the scribes are writing it and they know it, but it could be that someone who wants to divorce his wife will find a ready written get. For example, if let's say he just sees somebody in the same city where he lives has the same name as him, and the wife has the same name as his wife, and who changed his mind and said, "Ugh, I don't want to divorce my wife," and he put it down, he left it in shul, he threw it in the garbage, whatever it is, and this guy finds it and he says, "Look at that, my name, my wife's name, same city," and he goes and he doesn't know the halach of Lishma, and he wants to go ahead and divorce his wife with that. So therefore, the Rabbanu were concerned, since there are people over there that are not proficient halach of Lishma, okay, so let's verify this halacha. Now, based on that, you would think, so okay, so if they are concerned for that, so then we should require two witnesses to go ahead and tell us that it was written Lishma. However, v'hacha, but however, here in this situation where we do require this concern when they bring it from Medina Siyam Teretz Yisrael, as we continue on to the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, Mishum Iguna Akilu Barabanan. Because of what's called Igun, which is that a woman might be in a situation that she's stuck because she's not with her husband anymore, who wanted to divorce her or did divorce her, but because we're not sure, because we didn't verify the rabbinic concern of it being written Lishma, so because of that, the rabbis were lenient, and they believed the shliach, they instituted that we can do it in a way that the shliach will be believed to say that it was written Lishma, and now we know for sure that it's a kosher get, because, again, really we shouldn't be concerned with it, because the odds are that it was written Lishma, but the rabbis were concerned that there might be such a circumstance where the guy found it and it will be a flaw of Lishma. So therefore, since we are concerned, but we didn't go so far to require two witnesses, because then the woman might be stuck, because usually it's not sent by two witnesses, it's one guy coming, and then so how are we going to verify it? So we believe the shliach to say that it was written Lishma. Now, that the Gemara asks, Hai kulahu, is that really a leniency for the woman? Actually, chumruhu, it's creating a stringency for her. Why? De'imatzuchas leitrei, because if the rabbis would mandate two people, which is generally what's necessary, if you're talking about a cheskes isser of a eishes ish, it's a davish be'erva, which, okay, if rabbinically you're concerned, you should require two witnesses, then le'osi bal ma'ar apostolate. Then the husband wouldn't come and contest and invalidate the get, because he can't, because we're not going to believe him, because you already have two witnesses that said that it was written Lishma. And moreover, that two witnesses that said that it was written totally, that we know that it was valid. Two witnesses verified it. But the problem is, Chad, if you only have one witness, which is the Shliach, he's the one verifying it, Kashrus, Asibal Uma'ar, now you're going to have the husband, and he's going to contest. and it's going to be one against one. Upasalei. And now he's going to invalidate the get, because now the whole verification of the get based on the concern of the halacha of lishma is only being based on one witness. Now the problem is the husband is going to invalidate. It's actually coming out as a stringency for the woman. You're better off requiring her initially to have two witnesses to verify it, because then the husband is not going to be able to come and contest it. So that the Gemara answers no. Since the master says, which is discussed later on, the base, in front of how many people does this shliach, does this agent have to give it law to her, to the wife, and in front of them, he's the one that says, we have Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Chanina. One of them says he has to give it in front of two witnesses. One says he has to be in front of three people. Now, because of that requirement, already in the beginning, initially, the shliach, the agent, is going to be precise when he receives it from the husband, and therefore, he's not going to come to create any problems for himself. In other words, he knows that he's going to be this two people or three people that he's going to have to say this statement in front of, and he doesn't want to put himself in a state of jeopardy where they're going to ask him questions, and he's not going to be prepared. So first of all, he's going to know that the husband really wants to divorce her, because he knows that he doesn't want to make a fool out of himself. He's going to say it, and then the husband's going to say, what are you talking about? It's not true, whatever. So he's going to know that the husband wants a divorce, and therefore, we're assuming that the husband's not going to come and contest because he really wants a divorce. And moreover, even if the husband does contest, and this is very important, he's not going to be believed, because we say that for sure the agent, because he knew he's going to have to present himself in front of the board, there's two people or three people, when he's saying b'fani nechem, and they're going to ask him what's written l'shma, and he's going to have to verify all the facts, that he for sure was precise, and therefore we believe him, even in the face of the husband, because he definitely verified what he's stating, and we don't believe the husband. That's why it's not a difficulty on the interpretation of Rabbah. So again, that summarizes Rabbah's interpretation, that it's based on the concern of l'shma, which really is not that much of a concern. But the rabbis were concerned, because there are some cases that can be like that, that would be problematic, where, for example, if you found it, but they didn't go so far to require two, rather one, because of iguna, because generally we're not going to have two people coming, which the Gemara had asked, but that's a stringency, because if you only have one person verifying, the husband could contest him, but if two, he wouldn't be able to contest. And I think Moshe says, no, even if there's one, he can't contest him, because we definitely know that, we don't have to be concerned the husband coming, because he knows the husband really wants it, because he wanted to make sure he's doing the right thing, because he's going to have to present as a friend of two or three people. And therefore, even if the husband does come, we're not going to believe him, because we know for sure that this guy knows what he's talking about, because he was ready for this presentation that he's going to give when he's giving it to the woman in front of these two or three people.